thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Over the past few years, and I think particularly, maybe increasingly during the lockdowns, open and cold water swimming became quite a thing, has really become quite a thing. So if you go down to any of the beaches along the north coast, even in the middle of winter, you will see those brave souls go in for a dip. You know, I prefer to sit in the car with fish and chips and watch them. But if they don't wear a wetsuit, they come out and they are lobster red just from the sheer cold of the water. Have any of you given it a try? The cold water swimming. Last year, I think it was in April last year, Graham and me decided we would try open water, cold water swimming, but we put on our wetsuits. Went to Downhill Strand, because you can actually drive the car on there, like, because you're not going to, it's too exhausting holding your belly in. That's what I've discovered. You have to walk in front of people. So if you go in the car, it's easier. So we got on our wetsuits, because we're actually wimps, determined to give this cold water swimming a go. Graham was right in there. He was a hooping and a hollering. He was loving it, floating about, swimming in the waves, jumping over the waves and the rest of it. Well, I wasn't a hooping and a hollering. I was a whimpering and almost a wailing, because I actually thought I was going to die with the pains in my hands and my feet with the cold. I actually literally cannot stand the cold. So when we leave, you can turn thermostats down in the church. But I can't stand to be cold. But the people who do it regularly say there's great benefits. There's a huge feeling of euphoria. Well, I felt that when I got out and actually got warmed up 3 days later. But they talk about this feeling of euphoria when you get out of the water. They say it absolutely improves your mental health. You feel so much better. And it can even improve your physical health. Well, I'm sure it's true for many people, but it was not true for me. But over the past, well, actually a few months, I've been thinking about water and swimming in a spiritual sense. And I've been reflecting on a well-known passage in the Bible in the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to read that together this morning. So if you want to turn to Ezekiel chapter 47, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. It's this angelic man is leading Ezekiel and showing him a vision. Ezekiel 47. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As a man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000 cubits, and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This river flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah," that's a desert, "where it enters the sea," that is the Dead Sea. "When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the water flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Eglaim. There'll be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. As with many of the Old Testament prophetic visions, this can be interpreted in more than one way. It can have a literal interpretation of something that will actually, literally happen at a future time. It can also have a symbolic interpretation of something that will happen at a future time, although not in a literal sense. And it can also have a symbolic or spiritual interpretation that is applicable to all people at all time. And there is no doubt that Ezekiel's vision here in chapter 47 has a future interpretation, whether literal or symbolic. I actually have no idea, but I don't know. I'm not going to focus on that this morning. I'm going to focus our attention on the symbolic or spiritual interpretation that is applicable to all of us here at this present time. Ezekiel was given this wonderful vision of a river of water flowing out from the presence of God. And that's why we sang some songs this morning about rivers and water. And the temple is symbolic in that vision of the presence of God. Most commentators agree the river is symbolic of the life-giving presence of God, the Spirit of God. God's presence brings life. Is he bringing life to you this morning? That river doesn't just bring life, it sustains life. And that in turn is a source of healing. Now you know, if you know the Bible at all, that water and rivers are a common theme throughout the Bible. And maybe there's different verses that come to you. I woke up in the middle of the night, I think on Friday night, and I was just quoting, it must have been in my sleep, Isaiah 55, except I learned it in the Authorized Version. So it was, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, he comes to come to water, come by and eat." It was this idea of the water and the river. But one of the verses that came to me thinking about this was Jesus on the final day of the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7, 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty," he was not talking about physical water here, "if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." What a powerful picture. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were later to receive. What a picture of the life-giving presence of God within the believer, for you this morning, for me, and not just within us, but flowing out from us, streams of living water. Streams. There's often talk among Christian leaders about streams. They mean, what stream are you part of? Are you part of the Pentecostal stream? Are you part of the Charismatic stream, or the Methodist stream, or the Baptist stream, or the Presbyterian stream, or any other stream? We all know what's meant by that kind of talk. The truth of the matter is this, folks. There's only one stream of the kingdom of God. There's only one stream. And it is the life that flows out from the very presence of God himself. You can say, oh, I'm in the Pentecostal stream, or I'm in the Presbyterian stream because my name's in a book somewhere, but you maybe are not part of the kingdom of God stream, and that's the only stream that matters. But the most noticeable aspect of this vision given to Ezekiel is that life is communicated through this flowing water. There's a question I want to ask you this morning as we look at this vision and its application to our lives. Simple question. Do you want to go deeper? Do you want to go deeper? Because you'll have noticed, as we read, that there are a few stages in the process of this vision. At first, Ezekiel is led through water that is only ankle deep. Water that can easily be walked through. We've all walked through water that is ankle deep. And in a spiritual sense, we could say that this is a Christian who has either only just started out on their Christian life and experience, and they are still very much still in the shallows. Or we could say it's someone who has actually been saved for years, but basically, they have not made much spiritual progress. And sadly, there are many Christians in that category. Those who haven't made much effort, not only to read the Bible, because it's one thing to read the Bible, it's another to get to grips with the Bible. Friends, I encourage you, in your daily readings, it's good to do a program, read through the Bible in a year. I've done that myself for many years. But some people struggle to do that. I would say it's more important, not the quantity of what you're reading, but even if it's only a short bit, a verse even, get to grips with it. Get to grips with it. Let it get to grips with you. That's how you move from the shallows to the deep water. There are those who have only ever stayed on the outer fringes of fellowship. You want to go deeper in God, folks. You will not do it on the outer fringes of fellowship. You need to be connected with the people of God. Connected in a real, authentic way with the people of God. Those whose worship and prayers are limited sound more like a toddler, even though they've been saved for years, rather than deep fellowship with the Lord. Because length of time being a Christian is absolutely no guarantee of maturity or depth in Christian life. I have met more people, or people who have had more depth, more maturity in a couple of years after being saved, than others who've been saved for half a century. Everybody starts off in the shallows, but you don't want to stay there. Do you want to stay there? Nobody wants to stay there. There are spiritual depths and riches to be discovered in God. And I can say, after more than 40 years, coming up for 50 years myself as a believer, the more I learn, the more I grow, the more I realize I don't know. I didn't mean that as a wee poem, but there you are. But that is the truth. The more I learn, the more I grow, the more I do realize I don't know, because there's the depth of riches of God in some ways are beyond ever finding out completely. But it's exciting to go deeper. So if you're stuck in the shallows and you know you are, why don't you say to God, even now, I want to go deeper, Lord. I want to go deeper. And then he was led into water that was knee deep. And as I've been thinking about this vision this week, I'm thinking about the progressive nature of the river and how it gets deeper the further you go in the river. is how so many people start out well in their Christian life, making good spiritual progress, walking from the shallows into the next bit, into the knee-deep water, growing in the knowledge of God, growing in knowing who He is, knowing His ways, growing in faith. But as I was thinking about the moving from the ankle water to the knee water, what's the difference? Well, if you've ever been in knee-deep water, you feel the current a bit more. And I see that as like the challenges that come along in life. So if we're using that river analogy, and you're into your knees and you feel the pull of the current into deeper water, learning to trust more through difficult situations, or maybe in the knee-deep water, the riverbed could be a bit uneven, stones there that you don't expect, unexpected obstacles that we face in life, things underfoot that God has placed there to develop our faith. And although some people don't step out of the river when they come to these challenges, they either just stay there and say, oh, do you know what? That's enough of a challenge for me. Or some people go back into the shallows once again. But there are always new depths to be discovered in God, new mercies to be experienced in God, new insights to be discovered, new opportunities for our faith to grow. But there has to be a desire to grow and a commitment. There has to be a commitment to go deeper. The next water that he was led through, it was waist deep water. And here, things are becoming a bit more serious. If you're in waist deep water, you certainly feel, well, I'm not paddling anymore. I'm not just dipping my toes in here. This is where we understand more fully the challenges of the Christian life. That God definitely calls us. Listen to this, folks. God definitely calls us into situations that are beyond our ability to control, and sometimes even to understand. It's a training exercise in faith, and whether we actually really do believe in the sovereignty of God in our lives. And some people do not want that challenge. Another challenge in the waist-deep water is where we know that God is calling us to commit our lives more fully to Him. You think, well, I did that at conversion. I committed my life fully to the Lord when I was saved. Well, you did at that level of understanding. But surely, as you have gone on in life, you begin to realize God wants to work deeper in my character. Ingrained thought patterns that have maybe come down through the generations, sinful habits or unhelpful habits that I may have, fleshly ambitions, a desire to be in control of everything. These are areas of our characters that God is saying, come deeper, come deeper. I want to work in you on that situation, in that way that you are living and thinking. It's how God brings us to submit more fully to Him. And it's a painful process. At this point, many Christians choose to return to the more shallow waters. They don't give up faith. They don't backslide. But they choose not to keep going deeper. They don't want the pain and the effort involved in allowing God even greater or full control of their lives. But we will never move from the shallows into that water that is deep enough to swim in unless we're prepared to allow God step by step, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, to do a deeper work in our hearts and lives. And yet the blessing of the deeper water, the blessing of it can't be denied. To be more fully immersed in the presence of God, no matter what the personal cost, to be growing in faith in the midst of deep personal challenges is a wonderful thing. I occasionally read a blog by a man called Dr. Adrian Warnock. Now, actually, he was somebody that I looked at his stuff years ago. Actually, he was working in an elder in Jubilee Church in London, and I would often read little things by him. And then 5 years ago, he was diagnosed with a very serious blood cancer. And because the cancer Graham has been a kind of blood cancer, so I was very interested then to follow and see what he was saying. He has come through some very trying times. Here's part of what he wrote last week. He said, "Right now, I am simply delighted to report that the very detours I complained about," that's about his illness and everything, "have got me to the place where I was able to recognize God's remarkable divine intervention and provision." Anybody recognize that in their own life? That you were sent on some detour in life, some event happened, and you're thinking, "Why, Lord? Why, Lord?" But then you're able to begin to see God's divine intervention and provision. But then here's what he says. "Also, I know that despite my delight at God's goodness to me, this is despite many ongoing difficulties that are not going to just disappear." This is where a lot of Christians struggle. They think, "Well, Lord, the amazing thing will be when you completely sort that out. When you completely heal that, or when you completely deliver me from that, or when you completely sort that, that'll be amazing." Friends, it doesn't always work like that. And I know some Pentecostal and some charismatic streams would want to tell you it should always work like that. And if you had enough faith, it would always work like that. I just don't see it in the Bible. I just don't see it in the Bible. Quite often, the difficulties don't just disappear, but God stays faithful. God is always good. And we say, "Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand exactly what you're doing here, but I'm trusting you." That is a place of blessing. That is a place of blessing. He said, "I am seeing with my own eyes how God can deliver huge blessing for us without necessarily deleting our challenges and depressing circumstances." Now, that's honest. We just would like God to press the delete button on that, but he doesn't. He said, "Opening our eyes to see the blessings of God despite ongoing suffering is truly a key to walking in hope and not despair or desolation." Do you get that this morning? That's somebody who's not staying in the shallows. That's somebody who has experienced great trials and times of desolation and depression over the past 5 years, but coming through and saying, "Lord, I trust in you. Lord, you are good. Lord, I look and I recognize your blessings." That's what it is to walk in the waist-deep water. We all wish, "Oh, can I not go deeper without having to face personal challenges?" I don't think so. I actually, on the evidence of the Bible, don't think so. Why would we go deeper if we're just comfortable where we are? God leads us on. He wants to show us depths of his love, of his faithfulness, of his goodness, of his grace that we can only experience when we're literally at an end of ourselves. Learning to embrace them. And then Ezekiel came to water. He said that I could not cross water deep enough to swim in. Well, if we consider this vision and we compare it to our Christian experience, is it not a challenge for us? Some of us like to stay in the shallows, not because we're unaware that there is deeper water, but because we like to be in control. We like that element of safety in our lives. We like paddling about in the shallows. That suits us well enough. We may at various times go deeper in God, to our knees, to our waist, but then we resist when it comes to this water that you have to swim in. I remember learning to swim, probably in primary school, I think, in Ballymena Pool, the old swimming pool. And I don't think it came really naturally. I can swim, but, you know, you wouldn't want to be in a race with me. You would, because you'd definitely win. Very slow, but I get there. But my technique's terrible. But I remember, you know, doing the breaststroke thing, even the front crawl, but my feet were in the bottom, so there's no splashing behind me. My feet, I'm looking like I'm doing it, but I wasn't actually doing it. Some Christians are like that, looking like they're doing it, but they're not really. Because real swimming, you need to lift your feet at the bottom. You actually need to lift your feet. You need to trust that the water will keep you afloat. And for many, that's where they struggle. So I'm not sure I want to be completely reliant on God. Well, what does that mean? How do I know if I'm completely reliant on God? How do any of us know? Because the truth is, in all of our lives, we find security in our money. That's probably one of the big ones. We're going to know all about that in August, when there's no money in our bank. In August, in our money, in our job, in our family, in our homes, in our position. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. They are blessings from God. How do we know if we're reliant on them instead of God? I'm sure, like me, you've been thinking a lot about our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. And many of them had basically to leave everything. Money that is of no value, houses that were under bombardment, maybe families they had to leave behind, jobs, security, country, leaving everything. They're getting a real life lesson on where our security lies. Now, most of us have never been in that position. We will probably never be in that position. But have you wondered how you would fare if you were in that position? I think most of us have thought, how would I cope if I just had to leave here and everything behind me? Shows us where our security lies. The vision of the river that Ezekiel was shown reveals the truth of the Christian gospel. The river of God's grace grows deeper and deeper. And the further we are prepared to go, the deeper the insights and the deeper the experiences of God's grace we will have. There is simply no limit to what we can experience of the grace and blessings of God if we are willing to swim in the deep waters of spiritual life available to all of us in Jesus Christ. And then finally, the results of this river flowing. That's just this amazing passage. One of the most wonderful, incredible results of this river flowing out from the presence of God is the life that it brings. You see from verse 8, wherever the river flows, it brings life. God's presence, God's spirit in you, is what brings life to you individually and to the world that God has called each of us to live in. God has not called us to be spiritual hermits. He doesn't call us to live in monasteries. He calls us to live in houses with people, in jobs around people, in a community with people, because we are the presence of God in the world. We are the salt and the light. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's a challenge. I've never visited Israel. People who do, and Gwen is going there for 3 months in a week's time. People who do visit Israel come home with that obligatory photograph. You know what it is? Floating in the Dead Sea. They all come home with that. Salt content incredibly high, because water flows into it, but nothing flows out of it. And so the evaporation happens and the salt levels, saturation levels are so high that absolutely nothing can live in the Dead Sea. But in the vision given to Ezekiel, as the river from the presence of God flows into the Dead Sea, life comes. A miraculous transformation from deadness to life. It can't happen naturally. It must be miraculous. This is what the presence of God does. It brings life where there's deadness. That is why you, maybe as a believer in your home where there are unbelievers, or on your street, or in your workplace, that is why you are so important. Because where the presence of God flows, there will be life. Isn't that amazing? I had a situation this week, just a child in school had a panic attack. Now clearly you can't take somebody out and pray over them out loud. Well, maybe we shouldn't even record this little bit. But anyway, I thought, well, if I'm taking them out, I'm going to be praying over them, but not out loud. But just the opportunity to pray. And I witnessed an incredible calm in that child, calm coming to that child. No matter where we are, we don't have to always be loud and bold, sometimes quiet and gentle. It doesn't really matter, because it's not about us. It's about the presence flowing through our lives, bringing barrenness into fruitfulness, the Araba, desert, dry, nothing living there, and suddenly there is life there. Think about people you know, spiritually dead, situations that seem impossible. Friend, pray into it, be in it, speak the word of life, the transformation will come. It's a work of the Spirit. Sometimes we don't see ourselves as very effective Christians. We think, oh, I'm not very effective. Do you know why? We're putting the emphasis on us. We think about what Jesus said in John 7, that vision of the river, the streams of living water. Just be where you are, in your work, in your home, in your neighborhood. Be where you are and let the streams of living water flow. As I conclude this morning, I want to tell you a story of someone who really learned to swim deeply. This story has been verified by Open Doors, so it's not a kind of growing arms and legs story. There's a man called Wang Mindo. He's Chinese. He was serving a 22-year sentence for his faith in Jesus Christ. 22 years. After he'd served 20 years, a guard came into him and said, Wang, we are prepared to release you if you will write out that you would deny faith in Jesus Christ. They caught him at a low moment, and he did it. He wrote out that he denied his faith in Jesus Christ, and he was a free man, and he got out, they opened a cell, and he walked out from that prison, and he walked down the road, and he's walking down the road. He said, what have I just done? What have I done? I don't want to deny Jesus Christ. Jesus is my only hope. Jesus is my Savior. And he turned round and he ran back and he said, rip up that bit of paper. He said, I could never deny Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is everything to me. He'd been year 20 of a 22-year sentence. They tried him again and they gave him another 22 years. The first 8 years of it, he was in solitary confinement. And at first he was depressed. He was crying out to God. He's saying, God, I'm an evangelist and I'm here and there's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to evangelize. Why have you put me here, Lord? And I'm sorry I denied you and I'm back in another 22 years. And then he was sitting in the cell one day and he heard this noise. And what's that noise? What's that noise? Where's that noise and where's it coming from? He could hear like muffled voices somewhere in the distance. And he started going around his little cell. And the toilet was basically a hole in the floor. And over to Corn, the noise, voices are coming from that toilet. Wherever that toilet's draining out to the sewer. He's saying, wow, That toilet is connected to other toilets throughout this prison. Wow, God, I'm here. You've called me to be an evangelist, and I'm in this solitary confinement by myself, and I'm called to be a preacher of the gospel. So every day, Wang will get down on his knees in front of that hole in the ground, and he just preached the gospel down the toilet every day for 8 years. After 8 years, he was released from solitary confinement, brought out into the general prison population. I said, wow, are you Wang Mendo? I said, yeah, I am. 96 people, prisoners, had been converted through his preaching down the toilet. Friends, I'm emotional thinking about him. That's somebody who didn't stay in the shallows, even knee deep, even waist deep. That's somebody who was swimming in the depths with God. That's somebody who was presented with challenge in his life that none of us actually know anything about. And at times, yes, he felt depressed, hopeless, like, Lord, what on earth? And yet, he saw an opportunity. He didn't know if it was successful. He didn't know. But he's just faithfully doing what God had called him to do. I know from our 9 years in Ballymoney Elam, some of you have faced and are facing personal challenges that are taking you into the depths, that are maybe making you question, or that are taking you to a place that you've never been before. Can I say, don't go to the shallows. Don't go back to where you're in control and you can manage everything. Say, Lord, I'm here and I want to swim with you. Lord, I want your life-giving presence to flow through me. Wang Mendo had no idea for 8 years what was happening to all that preaching. No idea. But what a mighty harvest. You're praying for people. You're speaking a word here and there for the Lord. You are in your workplace, not getting involved in the stuff of this world, just staying apart from that, but yet being in the midst of everything, being salt and light. Friends, that is what God is calling us to let his presence flow through us, rivers of living water. This river singles out, in Ezekiel 47, it singles out the most barren tract of land, the Araba Desert, and the body of water most inhospitable to life, the Dead Sea, and it brings life and transformation. Don't say, well, where I am, that's a really hard place. Was it harder than solitary confinement in a prison in China? Was it? Is it? I don't think so. Let's not make excuses. I say, Lord, where you have placed me, let your living water flow. Let's pray. If you want to go deeper, tell him now. Tell him now. If you used to be in those deeper waters, but you've kind of retreated backwards to the shallower, safer water, say, Lord, lead me deeper again. If you're in the midst this morning of the real challenges of the deep water, may God comfort you, sustain you, and remind you that he is working in you and through you in these times. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it always speaks to our hearts. I pray that it would find a resting place in each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship group are going to lead us again as we come around the table this morning. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.